Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olalot. Doc, we are right in the middle of our new series, Getting Your Life in Shape, as we begin a new year. And we have been using as our umbrella for all of this the idea of modeling and developing in our life the mind of Christ out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And you have been, for the last number of broadcasts, talking to us about a very interesting and captivating idea of monitoring the different gauges of our life. And we talked about three of them in particular.
The spiritual gauge, the physical gauge, and now today we'll talk about the emotional gauge and how we need to keep those gauges near full. Mm-hmm. And it all comes out of that spiritual relationship. Mm-hmm. It's all a heart matter of how we maintain the heart. Mm-hmm. Keep thine heart mm-hmm. with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Yeah, Proverbs 4:23.
And where we maintain that heart. While we talked about the spiritual and physical, now we want to talk about an area of the emotional. And sometimes we don't want to talk about this because sometimes there has to be an admission that there is discouragement or maybe depression mm-hmm. at times in the Christian life.
There's a lot of discussion in today's society and really even among Christians about the whole topic of depression.
Right. Is it possible, I put the question before, is it possible to be where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, where and when God wants you to be doing it, and be depressed? And when I ask that in a conference, you have heads shaking up and down, and you have heads shaking yeah. sideways, and some right. are going in circles.
Because those are the depressed ones.
Those are the ones who are saying, I want to say it, but I'm not sure if it's spiritual to say it.
Right.
And so you look at this. Now, do we have a model of people who were God's people in God's place, doing God's bidding, and were depressed? Obviously, Old Testament, we see mm-hmm. Elijah. I believe we see Moses. Mm-hmm. I see a lot, even Jonah, but Jonah for a little different reason. Mm-hmm. But he really was in the throes yeah. of depression.
Jeremiah, Jonah for disobedience.
For yeah. Jeremiah for a different reason until he got his focus back. Godward said, I'm not saying another word.
Well, Habakkuk.
Habakkuk.
Really had struggled with God's revelation and God's plan.
And his correction came back in anchoring in mm-hmm. the attributes of God.
Job would be another one.
Yes. Now the question is, Dr. Horn, is there any example of a New Testament saint?
I would say Paul, probably.
Yeah, Paul is one. What about the disciples?
Peter, I would think.
Walking with the resurrected Christ on the road to Emmaus mm-hmm. and were so down, they didn't recognize the resurrected Christ walking with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was not just Peter, it was the entire group. Mm. But then the one that surprises us, I think, because we so highly esteem the Apostle Paul, we don't often see Paul as being in that circumstance. But it would be profitable for us to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7.
Okay.
Why don't you read verses 5, 6, and 7?
For when we were come unto Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more.
So you remember Paul had written 1 Corinthians. He still wasn't sure how that letter was received. Mm-hmm. And anybody who is discipling, like Paul, the perfect model of a discipler, not only was physically whipped, but I think he was emotionally whipped because he had to take the paddle out, write a very severe letter to a carnal church, mm-hmm. and he hadn't heard a word of how it came out. And we'll see how quickly Paul was snapped back into encouragement by the Titus touch
right.
in his life. But now let's look in verse 5. When we were come into Macedonia, our flesh. Now that's not talking about flesh versus spirit. That's talking
his
about
body.
The body had no rest. Perfect tense.
It was worn out.
In other words, we were in a fixed, constant state
of tiredness.
Of tiredness.
I and think a lot of us can relate can
say,
to that.
We can say amen to that. Okay, so he was tired, but was he depressed? obviously, physically, he was worn out, which is a normal step, like we saw in Elijah, the physical weariness. But then he said, we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Now read verse 6.
Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us.
What's cast down?
I think that's the idea that you must be talking about here with the idea of being depressed.
He was brought low, downcast, depressed. And we think, well, Paul was always so on top of it. I believe we see in Acts chapter 18 another parallel of that where it's a little lengthier passage, but I do believe that Paul says, after these things, or Luke recording the journeys of Paul, and after these things, and when you study these things, that refers to everything from Paul's conversion up to that present hour. And he had been through the mill.
Mm.
Paul pressed on in spite of friends because there he was alone.
Alone.
He went on in spite of funds. He was working with his own hands. They work with the people at day, work with his hands at night.
Just to make ends meet.
Yeah, so he would not be chargeable to anybody. He went on in spite of feelings. And when we see later in this chapter, just a few verses down, where he was really brought low, where he was really worn out, he went on in spite of fears. We don't picture Paul fearing. God says, Paul, fear not. I have many in this city yet to be won.
Can you go over those again? Because, you know, those really are the things that derail most of us from serving God.
Yeah, friends.
When our friends abandon us or hurt us.
Funds.
We don't have any money.
Hurt because we don't have money. Feelings. We were worn out. We get discouraged and depressed. Fears.
We're afraid of what might be coming.
We're afraid of what's coming next. But he did. He went on by faith. Mm. God spoke. Paul believed it. Mm. And Paul went on by faith.
You know, some of our listeners may be facing some very, very tough situations this year in terms of the very things you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it would be good for us to end on keeping this emotional gauge near full, because we have some good examples of those who were in that situation, those who were in that state. And when we see that Paul was encouraged, how? By the coming of Titus. We can call this the Titus touch. We all need the Titus touch. Every person needs three people in his life. We need a Paul who is a pattern to us. We need a Barnabas who is a peer, and we need a Timothy who is a project. And the pattern sets a model for us. The peer is someone with whom we can laugh and pray and serve. The project is someone that forces us out of ourselves to give ourselves to help someone who is weak, who needs to be strengthened to another level. And how important this is. How important is this? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and read verse 12 and 13.
Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia.
Okay, the reason I'm bringing this up is in this coming year, how crucial is it for you to have a peer, a friend, someone with whom you can pray, someone to whom you can unload some of the burdens of your heart? Now, Paul says here, a door was open unto me of the Lord. I came to Troas. There was a wide open door. Why didn't Paul dash right into it?
Because Titus wasn't there.
Titus wasn't there. And you know what he did? He left a wide open door and spent time to go and look for Titus. Now, that seems to be, if I were looking from the outside and I saw Paul come to town, I heard so much about this great apostle Paul, the door is wide open, Paul, go at it. And Paul leaves. Where are you going? I've got to go find Titus. But then they, in the school of Tyrannus, in training together, shoulder to shoulder, you don't see Paul very often working alone, only when he was run out of time and he had to wait for somebody else to catch up with him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, in that time, he always worked in a team with people. When he said, taking leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. But he found Titus, and then in that training in school of Tyrannus, the entire region was reached, and Paul then said in Romans, I have no more work to do in these parts. I'm heading for Rome.
Doc, oftentimes when a person is in this kind of a condition when the gauge is low, they don't recognize it. How do you recognize it when it's happening to you?
Well, one way, you begin to get short and irritable with people.
Mm-hmm.
You see this. In fact, during one of our breaks, I went to the phone, and one of our staff members dealing with someone in another city who is short and irritable. And we were dealing with that very thing, the practicality of someone in the ministry. Secondly, there is a weakness morally. There is a breaking down morally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people in this state say, hey, I've given myself to the Lord, and he starts writing himself. He starts clipping his own coupons. In other words, God owes me, and therefore he can begin to justify the fact that he's going to treat himself to some things because God is withholding some things.
Mm-hmm.
Then, thirdly, there is a desire to quit serving God, just to get out of God's work. If this person is in full-time ministry, the desire to just get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because why can't I be like these other people who they have 8 to 5, they go home, they enter a whole other world when I never do. We're Christians who are sold out, often are in a circumstance. I get home, wolf down a quick supper and head for church or head for some other responsibility of building other people.
And a lot of the people in our churches feel that way. They work all day, and then they have all these other spiritual things going on in their life. And you're right. They do want to just check out sometimes.
That's why we need each other.
Yes.
That's why we have to have each other. We are not created to function in a vacuum. We need one another.
So how do you recharge? How do you keep the gauges in this area full?
It takes time. It's not a one quick bow, get on my knees, bow my head.
Yeah.
I make a decision and flash, everything is gone.
Yeah.
No. What did we do before as we started this year? Get your things in order. What are you having to do? Set your calendar. Discipline your time. Eliminate what you can eliminate. Solidify what you have remaining. It takes time. Secondly, whatever you have to do, do with all your heart. Well, I always tell our staff, be where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not where you are, you're not going to be good where you are because your mind is elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, do with all your might. And then number three, learn to balance the eternal with the practical. Don't feel convicted by grabbing your golf clubs and going, or don't feel convicted, ladies, if you say, hey, I'm going to go shopping today. We are left in this world. That's why I think Luke 2:52 is so practical.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He lived a balanced life as God in flesh in this world.
What a wonderful way, Doc, to wrap up this portion of our series on getting your life in shape. And as those of you who listen want more information about this, let me encourage you again to visit our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, as we continue our series, Getting Your Life in Shape, by modeling the mind of Christ, may the Lord bless you.